Just give me another beer.
Hello and welcome to the Feels Like 45 podcast. I'm Cade Webb, and as always, I am joined by Dustin Ragusa on a beautiful orange Friday. Dustin, how are you feeling this afternoon?
Cade, I am doing great. How are you?
I have no complaints. Oklahoma State named their coach. They introduced him to the public. There's Bedlam baseball on tonight. There's not a whole, it's going to be 80 degrees today for your Feels Like 45 weather report that we do every week. No complaints.
And we've got a little surprise.
We do
have listeners that we didn't tease. And if anyone's mad at us for not sending out a question suite, we have a reason why, Cade.
Can you
tell the listeners a little bit about it?
So we had the distinct pleasure of speaking with Coach Barry Henson, who's now the Associate Athletic Director in charge of NIL from the Oklahoma State University side of things. If you follow Oklahoma State sports, you know who Coach Henson is. And we went for about 30 minutes just talking about, obviously, the Steve Lutz hire, the firing of Mike Boynton, the state of NIL at Oklahoma State and abroad. And I have to say, Dustin, we've had a lot of fantastic guests on this show. I don't know if one brings the energy quite like a Coach Barry Henson.
He's also like the easiest guest, I think, to have on because
bring two questions.
Yeah, you can ask him one question as long as it's like somewhat, you know, good that he can understand. He's going to give you the best answer possible and a very like kind of hit every single thing you ask in the question in a perfect manner. And he's an awesome interview.
He's an awesome interview, an awesome guy. Everybody that knows him speaks so highly of him. Obviously a, you know, nearly 20-year coaching career, head coaching career, you know, with Southern Illinois and other teams. But it was fascinating to catch up with him and hear what things were like. I loved his note speaking about what the coaching search looked like. I had told you some of this after the fact that, you know, I don't think anybody actually knew. And so to hear Barry speak so openly that he didn't know what was going on should hopefully change some opinions about where to get your news when it comes to Oklahoma State coaching searches. So I thought that was fantastic.
Yeah, he's basically saying don't follow the eyeball emojis on social media.
Right.
And Cade kind of gave some great insight onto his history with Coach Lutz, which you and I were confused about on the last pod when we said we listened to a podcast interview with Coach Lutz from his time at Purdue, and he called Barry Henson out by name, but didn't give a lot of background. So he kind of cleared that up for us. He's known him for what? 30 years almost, it sounded like, because the Garden City college days, which was like 1999, I think Lutz was there. So 25 years, and kind of cleared all that up. He talked a little bit about style. And then, you know, we got into the NIL discussion, which was a great question from you and a great answer again from Barry.
Yeah. Well, without giving away too much of the farm, we should let you go ahead and listen to what Coach Barry Henson had to say on our show this afternoon. And again, just a fantastic listen. We really appreciated him coming on. So without further ado, here is Coach Barry Henson. Well, it's a pleasure to be joined by Coach Barry Henson, Associate Athletic Director in charge of NIL, a local legend. If you follow Oklahoma State sports, you know Coach Henson. And we've been working on this for quite some time to get you on the podcast. So we're thankful that you're here. Obviously, a long pedigree of coaching in the NCAA, obviously. And, you know, we're thankful to have you and very interested to hear about what you're doing now with Oklahoma State Athletics on the NIL front. But Dustin, What did I miss from his background?
Yeah, Cade, I mean, you're talking about the fourth winningest coach all time in the Missouri Valley Conference and a Missouri Sports Hall of Fame inductee. So, Coach, I'll throw it over to you, but we appreciate you so much for joining.
Well, if I'd known I were going to get these accolades, I'd have done this podcast years ago. So, hey, let's start it off like this, because I think it's really important for the people that are listening to today's podcast to understand about Kate and what he's going through today. Kate, I realize today is the seventh anniversary of your mom's passing, and I don't think that there's any greater aspect as a parent, an accomplishment that we see what our children have become and what they're doing. Everyone that I've talked to, everyone, not just one or two or three people, has said only great things about you and what the man you've become. And today, instead of looking back, we look forward and we celebrate the life of your mother. And I have lost both my parents. I get it. I understand it. But just wanted to reach out and tell everybody on the podcast today what this means to all of us, and specifically you.
Well, I'm going to have to flip it to Dustin, Coach, because you're going to bring a tear to my eye. But I really appreciate that. And yeah, nothing more I could say, but honored to hear that from you. So thank you.
You're more than welcome.
Yeah, Coach, really appreciate that. And Cade, I know you and I have kind of talked about some of that stuff off air, and we'll get into it a little bit more in the rest of the pod. But Coach, appreciate you bringing that up, and prayers with Cade and his family on a day like today. Coach, with, and just kind of hard segue from such a such a nice thing into basketball, but the hiring of Coach Steve Lutz, the press conference was yesterday. He met with the media after. We really wanted to get some of your thoughts on that. And Cade and I were listening to a podcast called Boiler Ball. It was a Purdue podcast from 2017. And Coach Lutz actually mentioned that when he was applying for the Creighton job, Coach Greg McDermott actually reached out to you to talk a little bit about Coach Lutz. Just kind of curious about your background and history with Coach Lutz and kind of the process of hiring him and everything like that.
Well, let's take, Dustin, let's take the process first. I'm very protective of this university. This is my alma mater. This is where I went to school. I'm going to die here in Stillwater, Oklahoma. Matter of fact, I may die on a podcast one day, just sitting right here at the office at Gallagher. But I went to school here in 1979. I couldn't afford to go to school here, but because of my state government, because of my federal government, and because of the college work study program in Oklahoma State University, they allowed me to go to school here. And I am one of the 9% that have paid back their student loans. So have I known what was going to happen with the current administration, I'd probably held off on those student loans. But, you know, the process and the guy running the process, specifically our athletic director, and, you know, probably a little bit about our president, you know, took a beating there for a while from the people that really don't know what's going on. And the way that you can figure out what a great process is and a great search is when you don't know anything. Mm. There's a reason that people don't know anything, is because people have to be protected in any search process. Everybody you talk to has a fan base of where they're coaching. And all it takes is for one leak that that coach is interviewing at such and such, and then the fan base where they're coaching gets upset, calls them a traitor, and all of these things. And privacy is the utmost important in any type of search. How about we give a standing ovation to our athletic director, as well as our president, for keeping this search as quiet as possible in this day and age? And I think it was wonderful what they did. And I know there were a lot of people making predictions and saying, this is what we're going to do, and we have an inside source and all of this stuff. The only inside source at Oklahoma State was about 15 feet from this office, and his door was closed most of the time, and I had no clue what he was doing. So that tells you how quality of search this was. And kudos to our administration. Now let's go to Steve Lutz. I think when you hire somebody, much like was said in the press conference yesterday, is you go back and you find out what is it that we're looking for. And the first and most important thing from a coach that has had his ass fired, it was so wonderful to hear the athletic director get up and praise our former coach, Mike Boynton. You can't fathom what that means, not only to Coach Boynton, but to a guy like me and to every coach that's been in the profession, and to look back and see all of the qualities that Mike Boynton gave to this program and to our university. He suffered what most coaches will never, ever go through their entire coaching career. So then we revert to Steve, and I listened there yesterday. All the things that he talked about are all the things I knew. I knew Steve Lutz all the way back to Garden City.
And, oh, wow.
Yeah, shout out to Garden City, Kansas. I know it well.
You know, people that live in Kansas know where Garden City is.
Right.
And people that live in Kansas don't want to tell you where Garden City is either.
That is the truth right there. Absolutely.
Somebody asked me, how do you get to Garden City? And I said, you go to hell and turn left. And no, I'm just teasing. It really is a wonderful community. I've been there several occasions for recruiting junior college basketball. And you're talking about a place that supports junior college basketball, Garden City does. But when you get to Wichita and you still got 3 hours or whatever to go, figure out, you didn't realize how wide Kansas was. And you figure it out really quick. But Steve Lutz, when you go back to his training, I've only worked for three guys in my lifetime. I mean, only three. Well, I should say four. Jerry Havens, which is a Hall of Fame coach in the state of Oklahoma. Mike De La Garza, which is a Hall of Fame coach. And those are both guys I worked under in high school. But in college, I only worked under two guys. Well, the one we know is the most famous in Bill Self, and he's in the College Hall of Fame. And then I got a chance to work with one of the greatest human beings I've ever been around in Mike Boynton. So all my training prior to coaching at the Division I level came from three guys, including Bill Self. And then I'm not going to coach again. We get to a point in our lives where we're mature and we check our ego in. And now I get an opportunity to be a coach for 527 athletes instead of just 13. Steve Lutz has worked with some of the greatest coaches in college basketball. No one is out there tooting the horn of Danny Casper. Danny Casper was one of the original Bobby Knight proteges. He's probably one of the hardest ass coaches that you had ever been around in your life. He would have been a great military tactician. He was that kind of guy. And his troops always performed well, well-disciplined, well-coached. And Danny prepared Steve, I would like to say, in a lot of ways, in a great foundation. And then you're talking about two unbelievable college coach. Greg McDermott is a personal friend of mine, and I think the world of him, and I think he's almost a savant when it comes to offense. And he spent 7 years with him. Mm-hmm. And then I know about Matt Painter because I coached against Matt. I watched Matt play at Purdue. That's how old I am. I coached against Matt as an assistant at Southern Illinois. I coached against Matt Painter as a head coach at Southern Illinois. And then I've seen Matt develop into one of the best coaches in college basketball at Purdue as well, obvious right now with his team in the Final Four. So I met a guy on the way into work this morning, and he's one of our construction guys, and he's a Mr. Know-it-all. He does everything, and he's a fix-it guy. And he was asking me what I thought about the press conference yesterday, and it's Cordell. We call him Cordy. And I said, Cordy, I loved everything he said, check, check, check at the press conference. But the best thing that nobody's talking about is the pedigree and the training that he has received prior to running our program. And I said, Cordy, it'd be like me hanging out with you one day. I really believe hanging around you one day, I'd be able to figure out how to run a drill. Now, that may be exaggerating a little bit, but I know for a fact that when you're around these three coaches, there's no question in my mind that things rub off on you. And I think the most impressive thing he said today, as we started this podcast, we talked about your mother. Mm-hmm. As we talk about Steve Lutz today, he referred to his father yesterday.
Yep.
A man that never missed a day of work in over 40 years of work. That's where we are. You are here today because of your mother and your father. Steve Lutz is where he is today because of his mother and his father. He touched on faith. He touched on character. He touched on hard work. He touched on discipline. What more could you ask of a person to speak about at his first press conference?
Couldn't agree more to that.
I rest my case.
Well, he hit all the right notes for me. And I think that, you know, he referenced the capacity of the arena several times, mentioned, I think, all the things that, you know, a fan base that knows basketball. This is a smart basketball fan base. There are some out there that think they're smart, but Oklahoma State fans know basketball. And he hit on all the right notes, in my opinion, as a lifelong Cowboy. And so, you know, for me, Coach, one of my questions was, what's the vibe today? I mean, obviously, you just referenced your friendship with Coach Mike Boynton. Steve Lutz referenced him as well. Everybody loves him. Even Dustin and I, we are Boynton fans. But what's the vibe today? I mean, is it optimistic? Is it joyous? Is it yet to be determined? We've got like five guys still on the roster. What's the vibe today?
Well, I think you just answered the question with all the things and the variables that you just mentioned. I think let's go to the first vibe that I think is, here we go. And the best thing that I ever heard came from Brandon Meyer. He sent me hashtag, let's go.
That's and right. Dustin and I have been workshopping that all week. Let's go nuts for Lutz.
Awesome. I probably better stick away from that one. But and I think the vibe came out of there yesterday that, you know, the first thing at the press conference is, I don't know if the wow factor is as important anymore as hearing the nuts and bolts. Since you've already referred to nuts, we'll go with nuts and bolts. And that you've seen one of the things that were important for him yesterday. You had a question at a press conference from a student athlete, which is the first in all my years of coaching. I've coached 43 years, and I've never seen a student, a current or former player, asked a question at a press conference, and I thought he nailed it. Mm-hmm. I thought he nailed it in every aspect. And then I think what it's kind of like after you get a job, there's a newness wear off. It doesn't for the head coach. We'll revert. We're getting ready to have a spring practice in front of everybody. And I think we'll be talking about football here pretty quick. We're already talking about Bedlam baseball. And we got certainly talking about one of the best softball teams in the country. And how about our women's tennis? Unbelievable.
Right.
Number one, baby. So, I mean, I think we will revert our attention to our spring sports. But at the same time, I think people now will – there'll be snippets that hit the air, kids that come in, kids that leave. I will tell every fan right now, you know, the biggest thing you need to do is take a deep breath and you need to buy a season ticket. It's the first thing. You want to help Oklahoma State Athletics? Buy a season ticket. Buy it yesterday. If you want to help right away, and if you really want to help, then you get involved with the NIL with Pokes with a Purpose, because that puts us on a level playing field with everybody else. If you want to do something with an individual student athlete, we are part of the directive. We don't deal with, or I should say we don't deal, we don't run Pokes with a Purpose. There is a separation between us and Pokes with a Purpose, and the separation comes from the NCAA. Whether this moves or navigates towards in-house, we think that will happen in the future. Yeah. I don't have a crystal ball. This is so fluid. We had a ruling last night that the NCAA council decided that we're going to do some things different, and we're trying to decipher those today. It is as fluid as anything we've ever seen. But if you want to change a mood, donate to Pokes with a Purpose, or find us in the NIL office and let's find a student athlete, regardless whether it's basketball or whatever, and let's try to make your business more money or bring awareness to your charity or to your cause.
Coach, what's one pitch you'd give a local business that's thinking, how do I get involved with NIL? What would you tell them?
Well, the first thing I tell them every time, okay, Dustin, you need to hear this, is when we walk in the door, our hands not out, our hands in a greeting pose, and we say, how can we make you more money? I mean, looks like to me that Haneen's in here with me now. How do I pronounce? Is it Viore? Mm-hmm. Libby Dunn's been pretty good with Viore. She's made him a little bit of money. Evidently, she's pretty good because Nautica, which you guys aren't old enough probably to remember Nautica, but I am. I remember when Nautica was cool. Well, it hadn't been cool lately. Well, it's getting ready to be cool because they got Libby Dunn signed up. You know what? I've been with State Farm since I've been 16 years old. I think Caitlin Clark's probably got a few new State Farm customers. So you look at what NIL has done. You look at what the little girl, I'm trying to draw a blank. I think it's USC that's been on the Adidas commercial. You have student athletes now. Obviously, Caleb had a great year in at USC and prior to that at Oklahoma. But if you're a USC Trojan or a Chicago Bear, I think I'd be eating Wendy's burgers right now because of Caleb. And, you know, Jake from State Farm now has all of a sudden liked all these people in. So you don't think these young ladies and young men can move the needle? They can move the needle. They can bring awareness to your business to help you make more money, bring awareness to your charity, bring awareness to your cause. And I think maybe I've got beer goggles on here, but I think our student athletes at Oklahoma State are probably some of the best that you'll ever run across. And right now, if you want to do a product and you want to bring emphasis to it, we got a group of softball girls right now that make that team some money. I promise you.
Yeah, Coach, we love the Cowgirl softball team. We talk a lot of softball in this pod, along with basketball and baseball, and even a little bit of tennis lately. But thank you for going through that NIL, because Cade and I were really interested about some of your thoughts and some of the things going on right now. Kind of going back a little bit to Coach Lutz, I wanted to get your take on kind of his brand of basketball, style of basketball, and what these Oklahoma State fans can expect, and maybe how it maybe differs a little bit from what we've seen in recent years. I know they're still working out assistant coaches and personnel, but just wanted to get your thoughts on his style of basketball.
Well, I can tell you this, that yesterday, I know that when he said, we're going to try to score in the first 12 seconds, there were a lot of Cowboy fans going, okay, now wait a minute. Yes. But then all of a sudden he prefaced that with, we're going to take good shots. And if they don't take good shots, I can promise you that the guy that doesn't take good shots is going to get really close to Steve Lutz on the bench, because he won't be on the floor. He'll be learning from the sideline. And I think that's everybody loves tempo of play. There's nothing wrong with playing fast. There is something wrong with taking ill-advised and undisciplined shots. And he talked about yesterday, I don't know how many have heard, I heard him say about step into threes.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's an old Bobby Knight there. Bobby Knight never allowed his players to shoot threes off the dribble. In all my years, 30 years of Division I basketball, 18 years as a head coach, only once did I allow a player to shoot a three off the dribble, because he was a rhythm dribble shooter. And that was it. Everybody else was to take threes off step-in shots. And when he said that yesterday, I thought, I like this. And then he said, we've sit here and talked about offense an awful lot here lately, but let's get one thing straight. I'm a defensive coach. And I really like that. And there were a lot of people wearing orange that day that really enjoyed hearing him say that.
I think I heard a few claps watching the, right, the press conference. That. I'm pretty sure I heard some woos when he said, I'm a defensive coach.
You did hear a few claps.
Is that you?
Yes, I was one of those people clapping. I'll be honest. I will tell you this. I clapped a lot louder on good shots.
Yeah.
Yeah, I clapped really loud on that one.
Well, Coach, we know you've got a hard out, but one question, you know, Dustin, I don't know if you have anything else before we wrap up, but one question I had for you, you kind of hinted at it, but when it goes to NIL, you know, there are some things that will change in the greater landscape. What do you expect? And, you know, in your role, what do you think needs to happen from a legislative collegiate perspective, you know, to level this playing field a little bit?
Okay, Kate, I'm going to try to be really politically correct here, because I'd like to be employed tomorrow after this podcast airs. I can't share with you what I sure. would really like sure. to do. I think it's been well documented. There were the five lowest RPI teams never to get the NCAA tournament. I coached three of those teams that didn't get in. So I'm not a PR agent for a certain organization right now, and I'm going to leave it at that. But where I do see this happening, I do see that we are merging and heading towards some type of collective bargaining or revenue sharing.
Yeah.
I do not have a problem with our student athletes making money off of their name, image, and likeness, which also includes when they're participating in a sport and driving TV revenue. I predict, and this is Barry Hinson, this is nobody at Oklahoma State saying this, that we will see those two things in the future, and I do believe that we will have another realignment. I am interested. I'm intrigued by what the SEC and the Big Ten has done. I'm anxious to see what this alliance brings about. I'm anxious to see the movement of Florida State and Clemson and what happens with the ACC. I'm really curious, as a former mid-major, high mid-major coach, to see what happens with those schools. I am concerned about the House case and how that will have the effects on all Division I programs, but specifically the Power Fours right now.
Yep. Thanks for that, Coach.
Yeah, Coach, we know, like as Cade said, we know you got to get out of here in a few. I wanted to ask you a question. I love listening to you on other podcasts and you getting interviewed. You bring up cooking a lot. I was curious, what's your favorite thing to cook, or what's kind of your go-to if you're cooking for people to come over to your house?
I think this is going to be another podcast. So let's schedule another podcast and we'll call it Barbecue 101. But I will say this, guys, let's get to the truth of the cooking. There's two reasons that you cook. My father taught me a long time ago that the way to a person's heart is through their stomach. And I believe that. I believe that food, or getting together as families around a great meal, is, my father taught me that food, family equal fun. And those are three components that's healthy for any family. And I love that. And I learned that in my recruiting. There was not a recruit, as long as I was head coach in the 18 years, that we never not cooked for them and their family. Every Thanksgiving, we took all 13 to 16 players and asked them what their favorite dish was for Thanksgiving. And we got the mother's recipes or their grandmother's recipes. And we made sure that on Thanksgiving Day, because there's no college athletes that get to go home on Thanksgiving. Yep. That's a big day. It's a huge day. And we made sure to make it as special as we could. And we always had those young men and their girlfriends and all of our family, basketball family, to celebrate Thanksgiving, but we made sure we made their favorite dish. And the second thing is, you can't develop this body that you've seen walking the sidelines without the nutritional value that I've ingested over the 63 years of my living. There are two things on my phone that are speed dial: my wife and my cardiologist.
Fantastic.
I love it, Coach.
I have to tell you,
great answer.
I don't know if you remember this. I've had your barbecue. So while you gave a fantastic answer, I thought you were going to say barbecue, because I've had it at the Corral in Obrate Stadium. And you make a mean rib, I will tell you that.
Well, I appreciate it, you know, Cade. And tonight we will go back to the legacy of my Italian family, the Hinsonians. And Hinsononi was a real big family right there south of Sicily. But we are doing, for Bedlam tonight, we are doing Italiano night. And from Marlow, Oklahoma, we said Italian when I was growing up. And we're having, as a kid, I used to say lasagna, but we're having lasagna tonight and salad and homemade green beans with sliced taters. And we're giving probably the best cheesecake you've ever had in your life. So we're going to do it right at the Corral tonight, and we're going to start Bedlam off right.
Yeah.
That's
awesome.
Get the
baseball team ready to go.
I was going to say, well, it sounds like we, Dustin and I need to head up to Stillwater tonight and watch that Cowboy baseball win and have some of your delicious cooking. Coach, fantastic. We really appreciate your time joining us on the Feels Like 45 podcast. Any final thoughts before we let you get out of here?
Absolutely. I'm going to read to you what's behind. I'm not even going to turn around here and tell you what's on the back of my office. On the back of my office is one simple thing. When it comes to this university in the state of Oklahoma, anything that comes out of your mouth that's less than positive is 100% unacceptable.
I love it. And you guys live it. I know you. I love it. Thanks, Coach. We appreciate you.
Thanks so much.
All right. Okay, Dustin, have a great day.
You too.
You too.
I mean, Dustin, what more can you say? I mean, I feel like he left it all out there for us. And I got to tell you, there are few guests that have made me feel that way on air. And you probably know what I'm referencing, but his opening comments to me, I have to say, were among the nicest things that I've, you know, experienced in quite some time. So, you know, to him, a thank you, because that was genuine. I didn't even know he knew. And, you know, in the moment, it's certainly easy to get caught off guard, but I just want him to know I really appreciated all that.
No, it was awesome. And it was such a nice thing for him to do. I mean, the only, like, I think weird moment of that whole situation was how awkwardly I segued us back into basketball.
No. You did a great job, sir.
But no, he was awesome. Cade, I did, if we wouldn't have run out of time, I wanted to follow up on the cooking question with, has a meal he's made as a head coach in the past ever landed him a recruit?
Oh, well, when we get him on for episode 2, we can ask him that. Hopefully we didn't, hopefully we didn't scare him off, but anytime you come on the pod, you're a friend of the pod. That's just how we label you. So we'll have to give him a text and see what he thinks. But I also forgot to tell him this. He served my 4-year-old daughter, who was 2 at the time, ice cream. So the guy is a genuine human being. I've you know, only interfaced with him over text and in that setting once. But again, I can't compliment him enough. And his opinion on how things have gone this week was fascinating to me.
Also, if you want more from Coach Henson, because he's awesome, definitely follow him on Twitter. He's very funny on there. If you search on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, the words Barry Henson, a bunch of interviews will come up. I know Cade and I have listened to some of those this week, kind of prepping for the interview with Coach. They're awesome. And if you search on YouTube, you'll find some great press conference rants from Coach Henson. Just some all-timers from his time at Southern Illinois and even from his coaching time before that particular one we're referencing. So he's just an all-around awesome guy, and we really appreciate him coming on.
Yeah, we really do. Well, Dustin, I think rather than break down Steve Lutz and his play style and all that he's going to bring to Oklahoma State, we'll talk about the press conference. But if you want to know more about him as a coach and his background, go listen to the podcast from last week, because Dustin did a fantastic job of breaking him down. And if you have not listened to that yet, you need to, and then you can come back and listen to us break down the press conference. But we won't break him down as a coach 2 weeks in a row, I don't think.
Yeah, it was fun though, Cade, like through our conversation last week and going through his story, hearing him kind of recap that through his press conference, through the My Time interview where he's on the plane with Chad Weiberg. It was cool kind of hearing him tell, like, you know, the story about his dad being a telephone wire repair guy, that, you know, some of the things he's talked about in these other interviews, you can tell that he really cares about these stories and they really make him who he is, which we talked about with Coach Henson, you know, his dad, his family being who he is. You can see that because he tells the same story over and over. So, you know, those things are important to him. So it was cool hearing us talk about him and then kind of them hearing them come to life in his press conference and that My Time interview.
Yeah, I think for me, Steve Lutz brings a similar genuine nature to Oklahoma State that Mike Boynton had. I think, you know, it's really difficult to gauge a person, you know, outside of blanket thoughts off of one press conference and interviews. I think people will get to learn more about him as the season gets closer. But to me, he strikes me as pretty intense. And it was one thing I gathered from the press conference was he seems like a basketball guy. He seems like he's kind of all about his business. He's all about his family and his players, and anything else kind of not that important. And I mean that in a positive way. Like, he strikes me as a basketball guy, and that's who he is. And so, you know, to hear him talk about, we're, you know, a defensive team, we're going to play hard. I think he said, I promise you that, you know, I texted you, we're going to print the shirts. I promise you that, because that seems to be his catchphrase. But I just, his energy was fantastic, and he comes off as genuine and just kind of unapologetically himself.
Yeah, and I know he made the joke about not having the binders like President Trump and Chad did, but I know he had the piece of paper, but Kate, he barely looked at that, and it's just you and I know just from, you know, our jobs, and I mean, not saying like you and I are the only people that know, but you can kind of tell, you know, us being in a lot of presentations and things like that, when someone is really prepared or they're kind of just reading off the notes. And it wasn't like he even needed to be prepared. He just knows all of this stuff, which is really impressive, especially when it comes to a coach, because you know he's probably that same way about basketball. And, you know, I watched that coaching clinic. I know it was from a long time ago in 2012 when he was at Creighton, and I put some clips out. He didn't have a piece of paper or any notes or anything like that, that the whole time he was out there. And he talked for over an hour in extreme detail about ball screen defense. So it seems like he's a very, very sharp. And I know he makes jokes about himself flunking out of accounting or, you know, barely passing, and that's why he went into coaching. But he's not a dumb guy.
No, I don't think so. And to hear the comment he made about having already met with several of his players, there was a wonderful moment that Coach Henson referenced, but I'll kind of piggyback on that, where John Michael Wright stood up and asked a question to Coach Lutz, mainly about, will you be honest with your players? You know, if it's a fit or not, will you tell them or will you let it slide? And they sit the bench and they don't know why. Dustin, without speculating too wildly, that seems like a very, that seems like a question rooted in subtext. And his answer was brilliant, to say, well, I've already kind of done that with, you know, Justin McBride. I don't know what that conversation looked like. I don't know any specifics, but what Steve said is that it was brutally honest. And he said, I can be brutally honest to a fault. And if that's been missing, I think it will be refreshing to not only the fan base, but probably the guys in the locker room as well, if there was ever any ambiguity about where they reside to their head coach.
Yeah. Kate, I know we're kind of in the press conference right now, and you just hit on that note about asking about current players and stuff like that. It sounded like he kind of gave away a little bit of info. I mean, not that it was a big deal, but it sounds like he's talked to most, if not all, of the players, and that he kind of made the reference that some of them are probably not coming back. Is that how you took
that
comment he made?
That's what I got. And we could speculate on who, but I think it's kind of, you know, silly to do so. That's just going to happen. But it's good to know, because now he has an idea of, okay, what do I need to fill? And it's like day two for him.
Yeah. And then the question from John Michael Wright, we talked about it a little bit with Barry. How did you feel about that question? You and I texted a little bit about it. And for anybody who didn't listen, John Michael Wright, he's not going to be on the team next year. He's out of eligibility. Former OSU guard, transferred here from High Point a couple of years ago. He asked Coach Lutz about whether he'd be truthful to guys on the roster who were returning that maybe didn't fit stylistically with how Coach Lutz wanted to play. He asked basically if he would be honest with them and tell them, or just let them ride the bench all season and not be honest with them if they're not a fit. I'm not trying to, you know, like start any like gossip or rumors or anything, but what do you think that question stems from? Is it John Michael Wright just being there for his guys and wanting to know that for them? Do you think it has something to do with prior?
No, that's like, kind of what I was just talking about. I think that was a question totally rooted in subtext. That would be and again, I'm not saying anything that people haven't probably observed themselves, but that is a question that I think you would ask because it's something that either happened to you or happened to somebody you know, right? So I do think, again, I think that Coach Lutz, if he's as brutally honest as he says he is, it will be refreshing if that's what the roster has been clamoring for. So, you know, to me, I think that that's why the question was ultimately asked. And I have to give credit to Coach Lutz, because he didn't even bat an eye at the idea of a former player out of eligibility asking a question. And that could have gone so many different directions. So great job to him.
Yeah. The other moment I think we had to bring up, I clipped it. And again, not taking a shot at Coach Lutz. I'm I might be, you and I might be two of the biggest Coach Lutz supporters out there, but the fumbling of the microphone and then the kind of zinger back at Larry Reese, who mentioned him fumbling the microphone and Coach Lutz correcting him and then feeling, you know, saying calling he was a little uncomfortable with Larry calling basketball games if he doesn't know the difference between a turnover and a fumble. That was a very funny moment, I think, for a couple of reasons, but it just kind of shows you that Lutz, again, not a dumb guy. He's quick on his feet with the zing back at Larry.
We should ask Coach Lutz, you know, or I'm sorry, Coach Henson. What did you think of the zinger comeback?
Have you spoken to
Larry Reese about it? Because Larry is an absolute legend, and he really let him off the hook. I mean, I think if you're Larry, you have to say something. You know, your coach just slapped the mic out of the stand, so I think you have to say something. But I do think it shows his sense of humor on Coach Lutz's part. But he got him. He called him pal.
Yeah, it was very, very funny. I had to clip it right when I saw it. I was like, I've got to clip this. Speaking of the players, I know you talked about McBride. We talked about John Michael Wright. It looked like Jamyron Keller was there, Bryce Thompson, Connor Dow, and then some walk-on players. Am I missing anybody?
No, that's who was there.
Okay. And then we talked about, I promise you that. Another thing, we talked about this with Barry, but he talked about the attendance, nailed it right on the head, like the capacity of Gallagher Iba. I love the quote, Gallagher Iba has to be the fiercest place in the Big 12 conference to play. And him kind of just, he kind of started off with that and kind of asking the fans and the students to make it that again. And I know it's something Mike Boynton asked for as well, but he gets it. You know, he gets the how tough of a place Gallagher Iba can be to play when it's loudest and at its peak capacity. So I did think it was cool how he kind of led into that. And I mean, I don't know if I have anything else from the actual press conference that stood out to me, but if you haven't watched it, I think go back and watch it. Chad talks, President Shrum talks, but it's a lot of good stuff. And it's kind of going over, like I said, a lot of the things we talked about last week and his story and about his family, about his coaching career, about the contacts he's made along the way. So it was a really, really interesting press conference, I thought anyway.
Yeah, I think he nailed it. I really do. I love his genuine disposition, and he seems like a guy that is probably really intense, like in practice. Like, that's what I'm getting. And he may dial it back in a public setting, but I got to tell you, Mike Boynton didn't give me that vibe, but Steve Lutz does. So,
okay, in that coaching clinic, I know it was a while ago, but he's using the players. He's doing the clinic at Wayne State College, and he's using the Wayne State players. And he even kind of says, you know, he hasn't worked with these guys before at the beginning, and you know, he doesn't know all their names. So that's, I think he's telling the coaches that so they don't think he's just a jerk, like yelling like at the numbers on the back of their practice jerseys, but he is being a coach in this to these guys. Like, he's not sugarcoating it in front of these high school coaches. I'm not saying he's being mean or anything, but he's coaching these Wayne State guys like they are his own guys in front of a bunch of people, knowing it's going to be recorded on video. So you are 100% right. I think he's very intense in practice.
I can't wait. I know Coach Henson asked to buy season tickets. I will be renewing mine. Absolutely will be there. So it's fantastic. It was a great day for Oklahoma State basketball, I think.
And Kate, he met with the media after, and they asked him what kind of, it was a lot of stuff from the press conference, I think, kind of recycled, but there were some interesting questions asking him about assistant coaches. It sounded to me, and I know you listened to it as well, so correct me if I'm wrong, it sounded like he's met with all the players at Oklahoma State, but he has not yet met with the Mike Boynton staff, who is still at Oklahoma State. He said he still needs to do that and then kind of assess from there. I thought that was kind of interesting and kind of tells you about his philosophy, that when he got off the plane, I don't know if you saw that on OSU Max, to the listeners, I know, Cade, you saw it, but he talked about the most important thing is getting with the current players, and he actually went and did that. He hasn't even talked to the coaches yet, so he went to the players first.
I think that's the smart move too. You got to understand the mood in the locker room.
And then one other interesting note, He mentioned, you know, being at Stephen F. Austin, he recruited Oklahoma pretty hard. So he wanted to get that out there because people kept mentioning his Texas roots. And he said, you know, I've got some Oklahoma roots too, and brought that up. And then the last note is, I went back and listened to that 2017 Purdue interview before we talked to Barry, because I wanted to make sure I had the quote right about him mentioning Coach Henson in that interview. He also talks about in that interview, though, his oldest daughter's birthday is April 2nd, the one who works for Purdue and went to Purdue, and she's with the team right now, the basketball team. But I thought that was funny because basically her birthday present this year, I think, was her dad getting the coaching job at Oklahoma State. Because
I think that's correct.
The day before. Yeah. So I did think that was pretty funny. And I don't think he mentioned that in the presser. I probably would have mentioned that, because especially with her not being there, just like she wouldn't have been embarrassed just throwing that out there.
And Chad kind of teed him up for it, right? He kind of said that she's somewhere else and he'll tell you more about it. And he didn't. So,
yeah, so it was pretty cool. But Kate, I don't have anything else on Coach Lutz other than I wanted to get your take. There's, you know, some rumors floating out there. We talked about the contract last year. It sounds like maybe he is going to get the fifth year from some of the rumors we're hearing. Now, we don't know anything. We've just seen stuff kind of floating around, not reporting anything on this pod. But you and I were thinking around $2.75 million a year at 4 years. It sounds like we've got the money number correct, but it might be an extra year on there. Am I remembering that correctly?
I think that that's the vibe. And I have to say, if you look around the landscape, that fifth year seems to be the going rate for an up and coming mid-major coach. And again, I don't know if this is, you know, true or not, but that's the general sentiment. So, I would say if that's the deal, it's a great deal for everybody involved. Coach Lutz gets a massive raise, financial security for, you know, potential generations at that point. And Oklahoma State has an out. I'll just say it for why we have these contracts in the first place. Oklahoma State doesn't bury themselves in a unmanageable situation like they have been in the past. So a great job all around from Chad Weiberg, the athletic department, and a congratulations to Steve Lutz on getting what is a very, very competitive deal in the Big 12.
Yeah, I love it. So moving on to the transfer portal, we talked about the guys transferring out or who are currently in the portal. We've got Brandon Garrison, Eric Daly, walk-on Nas Brown, and Keon Williams. Javon Small, you know, there's that. I haven't seen him officially reported on any of the portal sites, like On3 or anything like that. But, you know, there was the report that he was in and then that he wasn't. So we'll just go with those four that I mentioned for now. Eric Daly's one who's entered since the last podcast. He's one of the guys who I would have loved to maybe come back, see what he can do on this team. But, you know, I think for me, Garrison and Small were two of the main guys I would like to come back. So it hurts to watch Daly leave, but I think I'm going to be more upset when we see Garrison and Small, or if we see Garrison and Small commit somewhere else, but kind of wanted to get your thoughts on that.
That's exactly the way I see it. I would add, you know, perhaps a Jamyron Keller in that. I think that if you watch,
he was at the press conference.
He was. So I'm more talking the guys that I think should be retained,
yeah,
not necessarily
sure.
In the portal. I guess, yeah, that Keller's not in the portal, but anybody could hop in at any given moment. Those are the three that I've kind of got circled as, like, I think you've got a core there. And I think that Oklahoma State's going to be competitive with NIL. I do think that Brandon Garrison is open to hearing more. I don't know anything about Javon Small's, situation. So it's definitely something to keep an eye on. But those two plus Keller, who's not in the portal yet, would totally be the guys I would want to keep.
I did want to, and, you know, again, we don't know, no confirmed news has come out, but I was listening to Robert Allen. He had Tom Dorado on earlier this week. And when they mentioned Keon Williams entering in the portal, Robert Allen said he is for sure gone. No chance he's coming back. And they also made some reference to possibly some off the court issues happening recently with Keon. I haven't seen anything confirmed, so I don't know anything about it. I just wanted to bring that up, that he's probably one of the guys, it sounds like, is definitely not coming back from Robert Allen's report that he talked about on the radio earlier this week.
Yeah, I mean, no clue on what's going on there. But I'll say that, like, I think Keon Williams showed flashes last year of, you know, a potential high-level power five guard, or forward, I should say, not a guard, and also showed some real, real youth and, like, regression at times. So if he's gone, I don't think it's a major loss for Oklahoma State really at all.
Do you think anybody else enters, or do you think, I know, you know, the portal closes on May 1st, so you can, they can enter until then. Do you think we see more people enter over the coming weeks, or do you
I do.
Outside of like a Javon Small?
I do think that we see probably multiple guys enter the portal. It's just the way college basketball is right now. I don't know anything to say that other than you're going to be rebuilding a roster whenever you fire the head coach. So, you know, I look at those guys on the you know, sideline yesterday in the press conference, and I wouldn't be surprised if multiple of those guys wound up in the portal. Don't know what that conversation with Justin McBride looked like, but this is a different system. And whenever you install a system, you got to make sure the pieces fit. And there may be a chance that the pieces don't fit. One thing that I'm very interested to see, though, is what happens with Bryce Thompson. Like, is he a fit, and does he come back, and does this up-tempo style fit him better? Because I've always thought Bryce Thompson is better in the transition game than, you know, spot up shooting in the half court. So got to wonder what's going to happen there. But I do think they're going to see multiple guys enter.
Yeah. I think with Bryce too, it's a good point. If you can get his mindset to what, you know, Barry talked about it. It was the thing he said he clapped for the loudest during Lutz's interview and Coach Lutz, our press conference, and Coach Lutz talked about it. If you can get Bryce to understand taking good shots in this kind of fast-paced offense, and I think you're completely right. I think he would thrive in this faster pace, try to get it out, Carolina break, transition offense. He just got to get in his mind, you know, what a good shot is and what a bad shot is if you're going to shoot that early in the shot clock.
Yeah, that's my biggest fear, because he's shown a disposition to take bad shots.
Hey, he's never seen a shot he didn't like. I play pickup.
I've always said that about you too, Dustin.
Okay, on the opposite end of the portal, Cade, we talked about it closing on May 1st. Looking at Western Kentucky's roster, we talked about one of these guys last week. You brought him up. Junior guard Don McHenry, averaged 15.1 points per game, 6'2 from Milwaukee, was recruited from Indiana Hills Community College, shot 36% from three last year. I think he's probably one of the best players in Conference USA. Does he interest you? Do you think he's a guy that could come over? And I don't think there's been any reported interest. It's only from the Lutz connection being at Western Kentucky. Do you think he's a guy that can play at this level?
Yes, definitely. He played very well against Marquette. You know, night in, night out in the Big 12 is a little bit different, but I really like his size. I like his abilities with the ball in his hand. He frankly reminds me of, you know, the Javon Small, Jamyron Keller, some of the things they do well. Don McHenry kind of takes the best of those both worlds. I don't think he's as explosive as Javon Small was, but I think he might be a better all-around scorer than like a Jamyron Keller. Javon Small, I think, would be an all Big 12 guard in Steve Lutz's, you know, scheme. So I think you'd be kind of splitting the difference with a Don McHenry. But I do think he can play at this level.
And then the next one, and I can't remember if we talked about this guy last week or not. And I don't even know how to say his name. The Babacar Faye,
Yeah.
6'8". He's a Senegal native. Transferred to Western Kentucky after a few seasons at College of Charleston. I think he averaged like 7.5 points, 5.6 rebounds, and started like 26 games for Western Kentucky. I think, you know, if you're looking, I was trying to think of someone outside of a guard that you could throw in here, and he's more of a bigger guy at 6'8", somebody that maybe you could bring over. Averaging 7.5 and 5.6 at Western Kentucky, I'm not sure how well that would translate. I don't know a ton about his game, but another guy just looking at that roster who might be somebody that could come over. So just kind of wanted to throw those two out there.
I think they're going to be looking for positionless guys that can rim run. Like, if you're looking at a big, I think Brandon Garrison's like a perfect fit for this. But I think that they're going to be looking for five really athletic guys. And I could see a scenario in which you go small ball, you know, to try to speed things up. And so if they retain Brandon Garrison, do they go get another big, or do they try to, you know, build Justin McBride up? And I don't know. I'm fascinated to see what they do with the roster.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. And then there's been a couple of guys who recently have reported interest from Oklahoma State. The first one, Jamari Thomas from Norfolk State, is a 6 foot, 185 pound guard. He was at UNC Wilmington before Norfolk State. He's a junior. Last season, he averaged 16.9 points, 3.8 rebounds, 3.8 assists, and 2.1 steals per game, shooting 38% from three on 4.2 attempts per game. I like Jamari Thomas. I think, you know, he's somebody that could play at this level. And he's a guy who's been on all defensive teams in his conference. He's been a player of the year. This is a like one of the top tier kind of mid-major guys that I think you could get out of the portal.
Yeah, I really like him a lot. There's going to be a lot of people after him. But if Oklahoma State's NIL is what they are rumored to have, I think you could make a run at him.
Then we've got Miles Foster from Illinois State, 6'7", 230-pound forward. He was at Monmouth before Illinois State. Last season, he averaged 12.4 points, 8.1 rebounds, 0.8 blocks per game, 1.7 assists. Does not shoot the three. He doesn't even attempt them. But this is kind of, I think, more of your what you were talking about, maybe a big body guy that can run the floor. He's pretty athletic. He can rebound really well, and I think he could get out and run on the break.
Yeah, I like him. I think he would have to play that kind of, you know, stretch four in a scheme like what Lutz has. He's not like overly athletic for a guy his size, but he's really solid all around. So I think you would take a flyer on him, no question.
The last one is really similar to the first guy we talked about in kind of size and position. Jaquan Carlos, 6 foot, 160 pound guard from Hofstra. He's been at Hofstra his entire career. This past season, he averaged 10.4 points, 4.4 rebounds, and 6.3 assists per game, while shooting 34% from three on about four attempts a game. You know, I think Jamari Thomas might be a little bit more talented all-around player, but I think Jaquan Carlos could be a solid guy to come off the bench and kind of run your offense.
I think that six assist number is really intriguing. If they're going to get up and down the floor, I didn't look into Hofstra's like tempo rate, but that would be something to take a look at to see if he'd be a potential fit. But I love six assists per game. That's a good number.
Yeah, I like it as well. And Nate, I don't think I have anything else on the current team besides Hofstra was near the bottom in adjusted tempo.
There you go.
I just checked it out.
nice job on the fly.
The only other note that I had was about former Oklahoma State head coach Mike Boynton. Sounds like he's headed to Michigan with the former FAU coach Dusty May.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not official except on Wikipedia yet. So very interesting there. I'm sure that that's going to be announced, but that makes a great staff for Michigan basketball. Like, I don't think Mike Boynton is a Power Five head coach. I think that is decided upon, at least not today, but with the resources that Michigan has and a dynamic head coach in Dusty May, you don't think Mike Boynton's going to be able to recruit pretty darn well up there? I will be fascinated to see what ends up happening. I don't know, you know, where he fits X's and O's wise, but I know what a recruiter he is. And so it's a great hire, in my opinion, for Dusty May to get a former up-and-comer who it didn't work out for, but one of the top recruiters in the country.
I think it's going to work out great for Dusty May. My only question to you, and I don't want to stay on this too long. It's probably a bad time to ask this question. This podcast is going to be way longer than some of our off-season ones, but do you think Coach Boynton, it would have helped him to maybe go be an assistant for a more established head coach at a bigger school, where he kind of just got done being a head coach, it not working out. Do you think it would have helped him maybe to go, you know, to, you know, a Matt Painter, like not just using Matt Painter as an example, to maybe learn from a guy who's more tenured and maybe a little bit older in the game to kind of figure out maybe what all he was doing wrong? Because if you look at Mike Boynton's career, side of Frank Martin, you know, he was with Brad Underwood, but really that was on Brad Underwood's come up. And I'd have to kind of look back at Mike Boynton's career history. I don't have it pulled up, but I'm wondering if maybe with a older coach, he could learn a couple of things that maybe he was missing from his time. And I'm not saying Dusty May doesn't do these things. Maybe he does, and maybe Dusty May's the best person to learn from. Just something I thought of when I saw that.
It's a great point. I don't know what was available to Mike Boynton. I don't know if there's still other options available to him.
Right. You can't just turn down a job.
Yeah.
That,
like,
you know, if you've got a Michigan job, yeah. It's just something that popped into my head.
No, I think it's a great point because, like, if he was trying to pick a, you know, a job like, I don't know, name any, you know, low level mid major versus a assistant coaching job at Michigan, I don't know which is the right call. Like, he's already tried the head coaching thing. That didn't work out. It might be a good time to go learn from somebody. Is Dusty May the right one? I don't know, but I think it's a really good question. And I, if it was me, I would rather sit on Matt Painter or Greg McDermott's bench, but I don't know if any of that is an option.
You made a great point. Like, maybe those aren't even an option. So
yeah,
you know,
like,
it's just something that stood out to me, and I'm not trying to be negative at all. I love Coach Clinton, you know that. I just,
yeah,
it was the first thing that kind of popped into my head. Cause I think Dusty May is like 3 years older than him. 2 years older than him. So
I think you're right. That's a really good point. I didn't really even think about that.
Yeah. All right, Cade. I think that wraps it up for basketball.
Well, let's take a quick pause, hear a word from one of our sponsors, and we'll get to football. We want to say a quick thank you to sponsor the Feels Like 45 podcast, Classic Overland. Classic Overland specializes in restoring original Land Rover Defenders designed with your unique style and specifications. They go to great lengths to find quality vintage Defenders before they begin the restoration process, and their team of experts will guide you through the various exterior and interior options to create the perfect build. Our friends Luke Reed and Robert Dennis of Classic Overland are both Oklahoma State graduates and will work with you through the process to ensure you have a great experience. And in addition, if you purchase a Classic Overland Defender and mention this podcast, the Feels Like 45 podcast, their team will donate a portion of the proceeds to the Pokes with a Purpose NIL Collective. To learn more, you can visit their website, classicoverland.com, and you can contact Luke and Robert at robert@classicoverland.com. Thank you, and go Pokes. All right, Dustin, welcome back. Well, kind of rare for us to open with basketball during spring football, but that's what it gets. That's what we get, at least, when Barry Hinson decides to join the podcast. So I think we are overdue for some spring practice notes, some recruiting notes, and I turn it over to you, my friend.
Yeah, so Cade, ads came back on this week, and it's so awesome with football players. You know, like, when growing up, playing football, like into high school and everything, you know, putting the pads on always made practice harder. The pads are heavier, you know, so it's fun getting out there and hitting, but you're more tired after these practices. These guys that compete at this elite level, you can, all the interviews after practice, you can just see the smiles on their face, the fact that they get to put these pads back on. And I personally love to see that because it's awesome. But a couple of notes, we're going to go through spring practice notes. I've got notes from Saturday, Tuesday, and then yesterday. I did want to circle back, though, on one thing we talked about last week. Isaiah Glass, we mentioned that he's running with the ones. I did want to note, we talked about this in an earlier podcast, but I did not bring it up last week, and it's my fault because I kind of made this like a more hot takey take than I wanted to. Springfield isn't practicing right now. So I know we talked about him possibly moving to guard, but someone else was going to have to run with the ones at tackle because Springfield isn't practicing and Cooper is in and out rehabbing an injury. So Glass is running with the ones, but one of your starters from last year is not practicing. So I did just want to caveat that. And then apparently, according to Robert Allen, I actually asked him, it sounds like Davis Dotson is getting some run at tackle now, a guy who we've seen play guard and a guy who we haven't, you know, seen play a lot in games. But it sounds like with Springfield out, with Cooper kind of going in and out, Glass and Dotson are getting some run there.
Yeah, which is really exciting. It's not even a shot at Jake Springfield, but it's like, if that guy is having to compete for his spot, I think that's a really good sign of what you may have elsewhere. That's my take on it. I think that that shows that there's more depth.
It also sounds like Austin Kowicki is kind of your next guy. Like, I know Taylor Materko is still there. I know we've got Springfield. Outside of the old guys, and you know, I mentioned Dotson, it sounds like Kowicki is kind of the guy who, if we saw some injuries, they're going to plug him in at center, guard, maybe. I would think maybe not at tackle, even though we thought maybe tackle at the beginning of his career. I just don't know if he's big enough for tackle. But it sounds like Coach Dickey really likes this guy and that he wants to insert him somewhere into the lineup. So not like he's hoping for injuries or something like that, but Kowicki could step up if he needed to. So I did want to mention that. And then the last note, a couple of podcasts ago, we talked about how during off-season workouts, you can't use a football. We actually had a listener reach out to us. I'm not going to say his name because I didn't ask him if I could reach this out, but he worked for another college football team. And you made the joke, maybe they could use rugby ball or something like that. He said the team he worked for actually used dodgeballs, and it was a loophole. So they were throwing a dodgeball around instead of a football during the non-football period. So I thought that was hilarious. I forgot to mention it last week because we had kind of a jam-packed pod. So I wanted to throw that out there because you kind of called it through joking.
Well, I mean, I just thought about it. Like, I don't expect the NCAA to be detail oriented. And I'm sure the bylaw said you cannot practice with a football and not you may not practice with a ball of any kind. So to have that confirmed is the hardest I've laughed in a long time.
Yeah, it was one of my favorite direct messages we've ever gotten. So
I would agree with that.
From Saturday practice, couple notes, Cade. A name we haven't said a lot recently, DeKelvion Beeman, I guess, had one of the biggest plays of practice. Apparently, Nick Martin was freaking out like it was made at the last second of a game on the sideline, waving his wrist cast around, jumping up and down the sideline. So it's awesome to see Nick so engaged and awesome to see Beeman making some plays. Apparently, Landon Cleveland, Tamarik Johnson, Armstrong Nottam have all been showing up. And then Jaleel Johnson has looked really good on the defensive line. Tuesday's practice, that was the first one with pads. Justin Kirkland, during that one, was kind of talking about some of the four-man front stuff. We talked about that a little bit. Gunnar Wilson, the recruit, linebacker recruit out of Melissa, Texas, he's going to be here in the summer. He was at practice hanging out on Tuesday, so that's cool to kind of see some of these guys that are going to be there soon. Bowman connected with Stribling in the end zone for a pretty impressive touchdown. And a name we haven't said a lot on defense, I think had the highlight defensive play of the day, and Deshaun Buckner on a defensive, on a pass defended, a pass he broke up intended for Cam Hurd. And then also heading into the Thursday practice. Last note from Tuesday, Nick Martin is still wearing the green non-contact jersey. Well, I mentioned the wrist cast, so he's got the cast on his wrist and everything. He's going not contact right now at all, but he'll be good to go for summer in the fall. The coaches clinic was on Thursday, so there was about 115 high school coaches from all over the region that was there. I know Houston Nutt was one of the guest speakers. Osso Pogai was at practice on Thursday because his son Tyson is a 2027 prospect and QB at Mustang High School in Oklahoma. Our guy, Osso Pogai. So, Kate, I wanted to get your thoughts on Osso Pogai being in practice.
Oh, I miss that guy. I really do. He was the quarterback in the 2005 Vince Young game when he pump faked Donovan Woods into oblivion. And I had like a front row seat to that game. I'll never forget it. Osso Pogai played his tail off in the first half. And then it was just Vince Young took over. So,
also at that Thursday practice, another guy that was there, Jonathan Agumadu, who, like Gunnar Wilson, he will be here this summer. Super jacked defensive player from McKinney High School. He was there checking out practice. He'll be here this summer. And then Oklahoma State will have practice tomorrow at 10:30, and that will be the first time that there is official visitors. Talked about the recruiting calendar on here. We'll get to those in a minute, but just kind of wanted to recap practice, what was going on, some highlight plays, and then, Cade, we can get into Gundy and the players meeting with the media if you don't have any more thoughts on practice.
No, that's great.
Awesome. So, Gundy, one of the comments that he made that kind of stood out to me, he said a lot of the early high school enrollees are in pretty good condition. And it sounds like he thinks, you know, maybe some of the training that these guys are going through in high school and, you know, he mentioned them all having personal trainers now is getting them a little bit better conditioned for the rigorous program they have to go through with Coach Glass. But my other thought after hearing him say that was Coach Glass is just going to turn it up a notch for those guys if they start coming in good condition.
For sure. You think that it's just going to get easy all of a sudden? No way.
So he also mentioned he thinks Ollie should be around the 20 carry a game average. He mentioned last year him being around 30 plus in several games, and he doesn't really want that. If you look at Ollie's average in Big 12 play, I think it was about 24 carries with some passes thrown in. So I think he's kind of counting overall touches to get to that 30 number. But him getting down to 20 and maybe mixing in Ceci and AJ Green, I think would be pretty interesting and, you know, probably better suited for some of the games and maybe even, you know, Big 12 championship games, playoff games where you maybe need to give Ollie the ball 30, 40 times. If you're able to give it to him 20 times, some of these earlier games, you know, not counting, you know, Utah, Kansas State, stuff like that. But I think if you're able to lower his average overall, I think it would be good for him and for the team later on down the road.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I agree with that.
I also thought it was interesting. Gundy just rattling off AJ Green's Arkansas stats and Rashad Owens stats from last year. And he wasn't like exactly right on. I looked up to just kind of audit him, double check him. But I don't ever remember Gundy knowing anyone's stats or even anyone's names.
So, yeah, I have actually a couple of thoughts on that. But like, I don't expect Gundy to know, you know, firsthand everybody's stats. But like for Ollie, that 27 touches, you know, a game, that's too high when you bring in a Power 5 transfer in AJ Green. And we talked about it. That's the reason you do that. So that's pretty cool, though, that he knows AJ Green's stats like the back of his hand, who didn't play for us last year.
We've got a Gundy statistician. I mean, normally he's throwing out like percentages he made up. And when you add them together, right, they equal like 150 and not 100%. So it's kind of a change from some of the stuff we've seen Gundy say about players. And in practice, he seems pretty locked in. Also, he mentioned Kendall Daniels being up around 240 pounds, which is pretty wild. Everybody's pulling this quote about Kendall Daniels playing closer to the line. That does not mean that he for sure has moved to linebacker. So we're going to have to see this. Like, if you go watch the bowl game from last year, they played him close to the line in that game and they called him the Rover safety. And he was one of the three safeties out there. So, you know, you can go look at Iowa State. There's plenty of times they play their middle safety in a spot that a linebacker would be, you know, in a 30, 40, 50 alignment where the Mike and the Will are. So let's just pump the brakes until we kind of see what's going on there. I get pulling that quote, but it's one of the, kid, you know me, that's one of those things that kind of rubs me the wrong way when we're pulling that quote out of context. But going along, just kind of some interesting things he said Logan Ward can make a kick from 63 yards. He said he gets a little shaky accuracy, but he's got the leg to hit it from there.
I would, I mean, 63 is the new 56. You know what I mean?
Well, I think it's impressive, but again, I'm biased with the Deer Creek background from our guy, Logan Ward.
I think your antler goggles are showing. No, I'm just kidding. I can't kick a 13-yard field goal. So yeah, that's awesome.
And then the last thing that I thought was really funny is they asked him about punt return and Brendan Presley doing punt return. And he said, yeah, he'll probably do it. And they were asking about other guys. And he goes, there's probably about 75 guys on the team who could do punt return. He's like, but when I ask if anybody wants to do punt return, nobody raises their hand. He was like, nobody wants to do punt return.
I don't want guys that don't want to return punts returning punts. So that's a very good coaching decision.
I love it, though. It is funny, too. Like, you know, everybody's always like, oh, Gundy's not letting him return it. He's fair catching. Like, I think sometimes these guys are, you know, he even talked about it. You're looking up at the ball. You you can't really look at the guys running at you. You just have to pray that they're blocking. You have to wonder if you need a fair catch it, depending on the wind, if it's raining. Like, you know, if you fumble that, there's a really high percentage that the next guy close to the ball is not going to be on your team.
Totally.
Because your team doesn't want to get close to you in case you fair catch it, and they don't want to interfere with you catching the ball. So it's probably one of the least fun, I think, things to do on a football field.
I couldn't agree more. It frightens me.
And then last, we had a bunch of player media availability. We can just hit some of the highlights. When they were talking to Alan Bowman, he said he thinks he was at about 40% full potential last spring. And now, you know, he said last year he was worried about, hey, what's my footwork on this play? What even is the progression? And it was kind of distracting him from being able to really dissect the defense. And he's able to kind of do that more now. I think it's going to be really interesting to see the improvement that he makes from year one at Oklahoma State to year two at Oklahoma State, based on some of the things he's been saying this offseason.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Obviously, critical piece to everything this year. So I can't wait to see the leap.
And then he also said that he was playing around 232 last year, and he's about 222 now, but he thinks he's increased his overall strength and muscle. He talked about, you know, wanting to, instead of always throwing it away, maybe get through the progressions a little bit more. And he said maybe even try to pick up 3 or 4 yards with his legs at times if he can. So that'll be interesting to see too. I loved how he's talked about going through his progressions and losing and using his legs rather than, you know, trying to force it in or find the open guy or something like that. Cause I'd rather him throw it away than throw an interception. But I do think if he's able to hit a check down or to pick up a few yards with his legs and avoid a sack that way, it, you know, it's a little bit better than kind of resetting the play and losing it down and throwing it out of bounds.
Yeah, I agree. I don't expect in year seven, all of a sudden, you know, Alan Bowman to like find this, you know, newfound mobility. Doesn't really happen normally when you're getting older. Usually that's just something you come into school with. So remains to be seen. I'm fine with throwaways if he does it the way he did last year.
Yeah, I agree. Not a ton of takeaways from Rashad Owens or Corey Black. Corey Black mentioned RJ Lester as one of the guys kind of improving year over year. So that was kind of cool. Owens talked about embracing his role as a leader. He's really laid back though. So sometimes not the best quotes in the media interview, cause he's very just kind of calm, cool. Doesn't show a lot of emotion. Cody Walterscheid mentioned, Obi Ezigbo doing really good, and he's picking up everything very fast. And then it was interesting to kind of, he didn't go into detail, but he basically said that, yeah, he was planning on not coming back and then changed his mind. So that was why there was some confusion on that. So I think that was kind of interesting. And then, okay, the last note I had before we kind of move off spring practice, there's a really cool interview with Nick Martin and a film study with him and Rashetti Jones on OSU Max. So please check that out. He mentioned he's got a Christian-based fashion line coming out. So I thought that was kind of interesting. But the last note is Gunnar Gundy. Mike Gundy saying he is not going to be, he's with him at Oklahoma State right now working in the office, but he is going to play somewhere next year. He doesn't know where yet. Robert Allen made it sound like he did know where, he just isn't reporting it yet. So Gunnar Gundy will not be like part of the coaching staff at Oklahoma State or anything next year. He is going to go play football somewhere next year. He's going to enroll this summer.
Yeah. Very interesting. I thought that he would just join the staff at Oklahoma State. So doesn't appear that that's going to be the case. But wish the best of luck to him. I'm wondering what happened at Ohio. So I don't know.
Yeah, it's very strange. And Kate, I know we've run long. Wanted to hit some Big 12 Pro Day stuff, but nothing super interesting. I don't think we talked a little bit about Leon Johnson, the 4.5 4.40. Is what we got from Zebra Technologies. Pretty fast for a guy his size, and a 35-inch vertical for a guy who's like 6'6" is pretty insane. Other than that, not a ton. I know Elijah Collins said he PR'd and everything. Probably a great feeling to hit your PRs and everything at the pro day. So it's pretty cool. But there's a lot of stuff on OSU Max about that. So definitely check that out. The last thing I really wanted to hit, Cade, is official visits starting this weekend. They've got 6 guys showing up on Saturday. Just kind of wanted to run through those before we wrap up and kind of close out this podcast. Riker Half, All these guys are 2025. Riker Half, offensive line, 6'5", 310 pounds. We've talked about him on here before from Owosso. Three-star, number 83, interior offensive lineman, number 16 rated player in Oklahoma. His brother has a tie at Oklahoma State playing for Zach Allen at NEO before going on to Tulsa. And then he's got scholarship offers from Iowa State, Texas Tech, Houston, Minnesota, and UNLV. We've also got Bryson Jones, wide receiver from Lone Star High School, 6'2", 175. He's a three-star, number 41 wide receiver, though, in the country, number 51 rated player in Texas. He's apparently been clocked at a 4.4 40. I think that's according to 247. And he's got offers from pretty much all the big-name schools. So it's kind of cool to get him in on an official. Another wide receiver in Jaden Perez, 6'1", 170 pounds out of San Antonio, Texas. He's not ranked on 247, but has offers from Arkansas, Baylor, Houston, KU, Miami, TCU, Tech, Tulane, and Wisconsin. Got Aiden Webb, no relation to our guy Cade Webb.
Safety, not that I know 6'2", of.
160 pounds from Lake Highlands High School in Dallas. Not rated, but has offers from Houston, Kansas, SMU, TCU, Tulane, Tulsa, and Vandy. Then you've got Dylan Sims. I really like this guy. Tight end, 6'6", 215 pounds from Queen Creek High School in Queen Creek, Arizona. Three-star, number 46 rated tight end, number 9 rated player in Arizona. This is a guy, you know, looking at his offer list, Boise State, Colorado State, Duke, Iowa State, Minnesota, Oregon State, San Diego State. I think Oklahoma State can get this guy. I'm not saying they can't get the other guys, but I do think Dylan Sims is a guy that they can land. And then the last one, Kyle Kia, he's a defensive player, edge, 6'4", 205 pounds. From Wichita, Kansas, three-star, number 11 rated player in Kansas, number 72 rated edge. He's got offers from Iowa State, Kansas State, Kansas, Minnesota, Mizzou, Nebraska, Northwestern, and Oregon State. And Cade, those are your official visitors that we know of this weekend, compiling that from Pokes Report and from 247. Hopefully, they get a commitment from one of these guys, but I'm sure a lot of them are taking other officials, but it's cool. Riker has been a name on our radar for a while. He'd be an awesome get on the offensive line. So best of luck to the coaching staff on trying to land some of these guys this week, and hopefully they enjoy the practice.
So speaking of tight ends, did you see the picture of Josh Ford standing next to Tyler Foster yesterday?
Yeah. He's a monster. Cade, I think Josh Ford is going to be two on the depth chart. I think it's going to be Tyler Foster and Josh Ford, maybe an or with Quentin Stewart, but Gundy calling him out by name. We mentioned it on the last podcast when asked what freshmen are impressing, and he said Josh Ford, and he said his full name. You'd think he'd say the Stillwater tight end kid.
Yeah.
Big Stillwater guy. He said Josh Ford. I mean, I think this guy's going to play next year.
I don't even know where this photo is online. I just know where I saw it. He's standing next to Tyler Foster, who's listed at like 6'7", 240. And that must make Josh Ford 7 foot 270. And he looks like an absolute train. I mean, you know, he's got...
like 19 years old and yeah, looks like...
It doesn't make sense. He looks like he plays in the NFL.
He looks like The Rock.
He does. I would love to ask him what he squats. Because a guy that tall, it just... biologically, it doesn't make a lot of sense. He's huge.
Yeah, it's incredible. I mean, he's a monster. I think he's going to play next year. Well, Cade, I know another week in a row, I know we've had some comments on social media about not being able to hit baseball, softball, and other sports. Jeez. Guys, we apologize, but I think we're at like an hour and a half now, way too long for an off-season pod. We've got to drop. We love doing this, but we just, you know, we've got to cut it at some point. So we will try to hit those soon. It's very hard to do during spring football, especially with the hiring of a new basketball coach coming. But we'll be watching Bedlam baseball. We'll be watching Cowgirl softball this weekend. We'll probably have clips out on social media, on our Twitter. So follow along there. And we will try to hit those again in detail on a podcast coming up.
Yeah, Dustin's exactly right. Without the hiring of a new basketball coach, we would not be going long in the off season. So apologies for, you know, having to wrap up early, but you can direct your comments to Chad Weiberg. So we appreciate you doing that in advance. But if you're not already, you can follow us at Feels Like 45 Pod on Twitter, Instagram, and Threads. You can follow Dustin at Dustregu, and you can follow me at Cade Webb. I'd be remiss if I didn't remind you that Charlie Hustle sponsors this show. They do a phenomenal job. Obviously, go check them out. They got brand new spring drops all over the place. So go check them out at charliehustle.com and use our promo code 101215 and get 15% off all non-sale items. We'll see you guys back here next week. Go Pokes.